What's up, my friends? It's Sam here, and today I'm gonna give you a full account of what happened during Emerge Secrets Masterclass.
So we've been wondering, how are young people like us crushing our goals and living life on our terms, regardless of how bad the economy sucks? How are we able to stay arisen, chase our massive dreams, take action and impact people while others are busy sleeping? But the real question is, how do we do it without falling into the trap the sleeping group fell into? That is the big question, and this podcast will give you the answers. Follow along as we learn, apply, and share actionable steps on how to stay arisen in business, career, and life in today's economy. Welcome to the Arisen Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back. And I know most people don't have the balls to do this, especially people who are, you know, selling stuff online or offline or business. Like, they don't really go full transparency. And I learned this from one of my mentors called John Lee Dumas, popularly known as JLD. And if you go to his website, eofire.com, that is eofire.com, what you realize is that he always has the amount of money his business makes on a monthly basis. And so his listeners, he has a podcast called Entrepreneur on Fire, right? And so if you go to his website, you could see how much the business was able to make this month. And he goes full transparency on what they did, why they made that amount of money, what happened, what changed, what they liked, what they didn't like, right? And they go very balls deep on, you know, full transparency on that. And thinking about it, I just couldn't wait to share what we learned from Emerge Secrets Masterclass or workshop, or however you want to call it. But basically, if you're listening to this episode, I mean this podcast, for the first time, or you really don't know what Emerge Secrets about, Emerge Secrets Masterclass, this event was all about me sharing all I learned from 25 millionaires that, you know, that basically forced me to learn this, the art of turning any idea into cash, right? And so they get any idea whatsoever, and they can be able to, they have this process of a formula they go through to basically bulletproof their idea from failing, right? And so that was what this event was all about. I brought in people who were interested in this, and I taught them. You know, some of them were beat up, they were tired. I could even feel how tired it was, but they were. But basically, it's kind of like a 10-year experience shrinked down into basically 5-6 hours of content. And so I could understand how overwhelmed they were. But, you know, today's episode will go into more like the structural and organizational part of the event. And so if you're looking to create your own event, which I recommend every single human being who is looking to, you know, do something for themselves, regardless of whatever you do, whether your business it's an online business or offline business, whatever it is, I endeavor you to start looking at creating events, or, you know, structuring things around events. Because events, if you look at what event is all about, just think about that, the psychology inside of an event. Someone gets out of their home or their house, their comfort zone. They, you know, they board a car, or they they take a taxi to the place. They come hang out with you. You know, the reception during an event is very, very different from, you know, any form of transaction I've ever found in this world, right? Because, you know, you can, you know, transact off online, you know, using these avenues here and there, your website, your Facebook, your social media handles here and there. You can communicate very perfectly on those channels, but there's nothing that beats physical communication, where palms meet palms, you hug. You know, there's a lot of emotional attachment that goes into that. And it's been proven that people who attend events are biased. People, they like buying stuff, right? Which is true, right? The event we organized was a paid event. You know, it wasn't free. People who came paid, right? And so it just tell you that, you know, organizing an event is definitely a go-to for you if you're thinking, I don't know if I should, you know, start an event, or do an event or not. Please do. It's very helpful. It's going to impact your business tremendously, right? So that's just a side note here. So I just want to go into the process in which we went through. And so basically what we did for the Immersed Secret Masterclass was basically going through the Immersed Secret formula, right? Crazy. It was crazy because I just wanted to test this thing to make sure it worked before I even teach it, right? And so that was what happened. And so if we weren't able to make money from the Immersed Secrets Masterclass, there was no way I would be teaching this, right? But anyway, I'm not going to go into details of what the whole program was all about, but basically we're trying to, you know, go through the formula in which these people, these high performance people who are, you know, who are changing lives with their business, how do they go from idea phase into cash, right? And so I got the idea, and for most people, when they get any idea, they start running with it, right? A friend of mine recently, I don't want to, you know, go very, very detailed on that, but he recently sent me, you know, a picture of a machine he's looking to buy into this business he's looking to do. And and he said he found this idea on his, you know, on a trip to one African country, I think in the southern parts of Africa. And what happened was that he found this and you know, in transit to wherever he was looking to go, and he found out that this machine would be helpful in Ghana, right? And so he said it was very very, very expensive, and I was trying to, you know, help him see what he could do to basically raise cash for that, right? And so I asked him if there's market for what he's looking to do before he even starts to think about raising funds for the whole machine. And he said something that was really, really, I don't know, but what he said was that, you know, oh, it's a proven market, people would buy, and that is where people fought. Now, I'm not here to you know, make fun of this guy, because he's a really good friend of mine, but I hopefully he listens to this podcast and then probably change his mind, or, you know, start to think of the right ways to do things, right? But basically, this is what happens. People just get the idea and they start off saying, oh, this idea is going to be awesome, people are going to buy it, and at the end of the day, people don't buy it because we don't feel in our own wallet, right? We don't feel in our own wallet. The money you have in your wallet right now, or in your purse as you're listening to me right now, didn't come from you. It came from somebody, right? It probably came from you, you know, exchanging services from somebody. You went to buy, you had 10 cedis, you went to buy airtime of 5 cedis, and the change, and then you got a change of 5 cedis. So the money in your pocket basically doesn't belong to you. It's going somewhere else, right? And so it's all about value exchange, right? But here's the point I'm trying to drive at. Before you come up with your idea, always try to validate your idea with the marketplace way before you even start, you know, thinking, hey, this product, we've created this product, it's going to be awesome, right? Yeah, so that's just, you know, 50,000 foot view of the entire process, right? And so this is what we did. Way before I came up with the idea, Immersed Secret Masterclass, I went out inside of the market that I'm looking to sell, and I asked them, what is your number one challenge about turning your idea into cash, right? And then I had, you know, several, I had hundreds of, you know, responses. People were saying their ideas suck because, I mean, their number one challenge about turning the idea into cash is, you know, they lack the idea in the first place. Some people said they have the idea, but they lack the cash. Some people said they lack the strategy. Some people said this and that and that. And so I had about 120, I think so, 120 responses. But out of the 120, we found about 55 common, you know, trend that was going through all the responses, right? And so basically, I would say we had 55 responses. And then we went through all the 55 responses, and then we said, what is the number one challenge people are facing inside of the 55 responses, right? Now, what we are trying to do is that we are trying to avoid our own inclusion inside of the solution we are looking to provide, right? What happens is that after we have asked the market what they need, we need to give them exactly what they need, but not inside of what we are looking to do, right? I have an idea of what I wanted to talk about inside of the Immersed Secret Masterclass, right? But it was slightly different from what I intended to teach when I actually got feedback from the people I'm looking to serve, right? And so anyway, so I hope I've pounded on the I've pounded enough on the fact that you need to listen to your market way before you start creating your products or your service or whatever it is, right? And so this is what we did. We got a survey, we had people responding, and they went through all this, and then we arranged the top five, I think it was top six topics that people wanted to talk about. I'm not going to go into the details of what we talked about, but that was what happened. So we had chapter one, or what we call model one. Model one talked about this, model two talked about this, three, four, five, six. So we had six models or chapters that we talked about during the Emerge Secrets Masterclass, right? And so you could see the whole process, that it didn't come from me. It came from basically you, it came from the people I'm looking to sell this thing back to. It came from them. It came from the fact that, you know, they were going through a challenge, and I thought I had a solution, but I wasn't so confident of having the solution until I actually came, asked them what they needed, and then went through the whole process of what they were looking to do. And then I came back and said, hey guys, I think I have the solution for this, right? And so out of the 55 responses, we had 15 people to say yes to actually coming for the event, right? Of course, we had other people who weren't able to, you know, come up, who weren't able to come for the events, even though they were registered, right? So in the room, we had about, I think we had about 10 people in the room. Yeah, so we had 10 people inside the room, and we had 5 people who had paid, but they weren't available. Some of them were in Kumasi, some of them had traveled, and here and there, right? And so when all said is when everything is said and done, we are going to make, because we made some people go through the installment plan, right? Because what happened was that most people wanted to come for the event, but they didn't have the 350 cedis that they were looking to charge, right? And so some people, depending on how serious they were, they talked to the team, and then the team decided to do, you know, a really, really cool installment plan for them, which they were happy about, right? And so if we total all those, you know, payments that are going to come in the next couple months, we are probably going to make about 4,000 cedis, and to me that's not pure profit. 4,000 is just 4,000, but the point is that, you know, this thing works, right? If you follow this system, it's good, it works. So we actually received money way before even delivering the product or service, and that is what I recommend for those who came. That's what I recommend for all of them, that before they come up with the idea, they should have cash in their hands before they even start thinking of producing whatever they want to produce, right? Because it's the most safest way. I hate the whole idea of going into looking for investors who are going to eat up majority of your equity inside of your own business or your own idea you brought in the first place, right? Just because of the fact that you don't have 10,000 cedis or 20,000 or 30 or 50,000 cedis to start your idea, right? Anyway, so that was what we did. We got all these people inside the room, we taught, you know, and what happened during the event was that there were lots of technical issues, from the projector failing us, to my slides not working, from microphones, you know, sound issues, camera failing, here and there. And what I want to tell you is that if you're looking to start an event, create an event, you should be wary of these things. Always look for backups, right? And so in as much as we knew these things were going to happen, we didn't really, really provide the necessary backup plans for all these things, right? And so we're caught up there. But, you know, I'm just thankful for my team. The team were really up to their toes and making sure that things were in their right order. Even though things were failing, they still got alternatives for us to keep running. And so I'm very, very super, super thankful, because without them, there's no way we could have pulled off this event. And so make sure you get a team around you. It could be your friends, it could be your family members, it could be people working for you, whatever it is. Just make sure they're dedicated to the work, because they'll save you, they'll save your life, right? And so that was what happened. But I want to really talk about what I would do differently, right? If I were to do this again, of course, I loved every bit of how this whole thing went in terms of the organization part of it. I loved every single thing. You know, we wanted it. I mentioned earlier on that we made, if all is said and done, you're going to make like 4,000 cedis. But you know, that's excluding, that includes all other, you know, all other things that we're looking to do for the students, for those who came, because this wasn't a profit-making event. If this was a profit-making event, that we would have structured this very differently, right? But what we wanted to do was just to test this Image Secrets masterclass idea first before heading over to the big market, right? So I handpicked few people and then, you know, taught them this process. And frankly, I think three people have started their own blogs. And amongst those three people, one of them have started using, none of them has started using this this formula, and she's actually making a lot of money. She sent me a message not too long ago on how business is booming just because she followed this process. And so I'm very thankful for, you know, for all these people coming and then, you know, actually getting value. But I want to go into the organization part of it, right? No, if I were to do something differently, if I were to organize Emerge Secrets Masterclass again, what I'll probably do is that I would, because of the intensity in the delivery of the service, because it wasn't just an event, it was a workshop, right? And so it needed a lot of, you know, logistics, right? And so what I would probably do is structure it in a way to actually make more profit so that I can be able to, you know, make things work out very perfectly. Because, you know, during the events, I found out that I had to, you know, make some investments here and there from my own pockets, just because some people weren't able to, you know, afford the full cash upfront, right? And so I took money out of my pocket to, you know, do certain things. But of course, we are going to liquidate all those where all those funds were coming from. And so so that's not a big deal. But what I would probably do differently is to focus more in the early part of it, because you see, with the early part where we talked about the survey, right? The survey is where it's going to what's going to fuel the patronage of your service or product, right? What I mean by that is that, you know, as I said earlier on, we had like 120 people replying or responding to the survey, right? What I would have done differently was to extend the survey to about 2-5 months, right, way beforehand, so I could get a lot of people, about 500 to 1,000 people responding to the survey. That way I would, even if we have all those not so important responses, we would probably narrow it down to probably about 300 or 400 people who gave us enough, you know, enough responses that were tangible, right? And then after that, I would make them an offer. And so we will be sourcing the people looking to patronize the products in the future from 300 rather than from 55. I don't know if that makes sense, because I said earlier on that from 120 we narrowed it down to 55 responses, right? And out of those 55 responses, we marketed to those 55 people, and then we had 15 people, right? And so if you think about it, we basically had about 25% conversion rate. I'm going very balls deep, you know, detailed here, because I want you to know what actually happens, right? And so we had 125 responses, but out of that we had 55 people. So we were basically marketing to 55 people. What I would have done separately, differently, was basically to extend the survey, go be more aggressive on the survey to get a lot of responses, about 300, 400 or 500 people responding. And out of that, we might probably get 200 or 300 people who are actually, you know, interested in this program. And out of that, 20% of 300 people is kind of like 60. So with 60, you are headway, right? You're currently on your way to actually making a lot of cash out of this. And so that's what I would have done differently. But that said, the whole purpose of this wasn't to make money, it's to prove the idea. And so I'm still satisfied with what I want to do, but you know, this is just for if you are looking to you know, actually make money from your event, this is what I encourage you to do. Make sure your survey has a lot of responses, because your survey is going to feed you your patronage and your, you know, people who are looking to patronize the idea or the product or service, right? So that's that side. And also, if I were to do this differently on the premise of trying to make more money, what I would have done was I'll probably, after the survey, what I would have done was to create a free event. And the free event is basically going to be a disguised sales pitch. What I mean by disguised sales pitch is that, you know, you come there, I'm going to give you value here and there, but then at the end of the day, I'm going to sell the tickets to the masterclass, right? And we all know the power of free. When you say something is free, a lot of people come. And so what I would have probably done is same thing with a survey. I would get the survey people, advertise to these survey people that there's a free you know, events coming up on this said date, and here's what I'm going to do. And so they come, and because it's free, if I'm going to advertise to, let's say, 300, 400, 500 people, I'm probably going to get like 80% of them coming for the free event, right? And so for 500 people, let's just say I'm getting like 300 people coming back, coming for this event. Now, out of these 300, out of these 300, they come for this event, I share what I have to share, whatever value I have for them, and then after the value exchange, I make them an offer. And typically on an event, you typically want 10 to 30% conversion rate. What I mean by that is, if there are 300 people in the room, you're probably looking at 30 to 60 people actually saying yes to your offer, right? 30 to 60 people saying yes to your offer, right? And if you do a good job, right? And so 30 to 60 people is a good number compared to 15 people that we're looking to, who actually came for the who actually subscribed for this event, right? And so that's what I would have done differently, but all the same, it was still a good one. I really love what we did. And secondly, too, at the back end, inside of the Arisen Nation, what I was looking to do is, I got a new hire. I don't know, for those who came for the event, you might know her, Bennis. So Bennis was kind of like my apprentice, somebody I was, you know, mentoring inside of the Arisen Nation. She was basically, quote unquote, my assistant, who was making sure that all the office works were done, you know, reaching out to people who were interested and stuff like that. Now, This is the first time ever doing what we call sales calls. What sales calls is all about is basically reaching out to people and then asking them or pitching them about your idea and then getting them excited about it, so they can be able to patronize in whatever you're looking to do, right? Now, what happened was that since I've been teaching her about all these things, there hadn't been any opportunity, any real life opportunity for her to showcase what she's learned so far, right? And so what I did was sacrifice that bit of it to her so she can be able to learn, right? And so what I found out was that, you know, we left a lot of money on the table. We left a whole lot of, you know, patronage on the table, just because I was looking to train Bernice on this whole process that we are looking to do. And so if I were to do this differently, I probably had done the sales calls myself, because, you know, I've mastered the art of it. But that's what I would have done differently if I were to do this with the premise of trying to make a lot of money, right? Because the goal for this masterclass was to raise 10,000 cedis. But the same, we're short by half, less than half. But I'm still, you know, excited about what we did. I'm looking at where the trajectory and everything was looking to go, right? And what I loved about this whole event was that, you know, people had their aha moments, and that's alone, it's more than the 10,000 cities that we're looking to do, right? It's mind-blowing how people, you know, you could see from their faces when they were seated there, I could see it from them, you could see that there was some form of relief off of them. Like they actually had, for the first time in probably in their lives, right, they had an actionable step on how to move from idea phase to cash phase without blowing up money or going for investors or trying to, you know, they had all these things. They didn't have all these secrets, I should say. They didn't have all these things that would help them to move from idea phase to cash phase. And so it was really, really awesome to have all these people, you know, have their aha moments or their what we call the light bulb moments, right? And to me, it was one of my favorite moments inside of the Emerge Secrets Masterclass. And so that's it for the accounts of what happened, what really, really happened inside of the Emerge Secrets Masterclass. And so if you're looking to create your own event, start your own campaign, here's the blueprint. Just go, you know, some weeks back into what we're looking to do, because I basically was sharing along the way. I was sharing how I was advertising this, and then come back to this very episode where I share the account, and then, you know, try and reverse engineer the process in which we went through, and try and see if you could create an event for us. So, and let me know if you are starting, if you're looking to create an event, because again, as I said earlier, an event is one of the biggest way you can be able to impact people's lives positively. So that was what happened inside the Emerge Secrets Masterclass. I hope this helps you to, you know, this helps with your idea generation on what events you are supposed to be creating, what can you do for your potential customers or your customers or people who are looking to patronize in whatever you're looking to do. Anyway, if you like this episode, if you like this very episode or any of the episodes, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review, a 5-star review, of course, because that's where it helps the algorithm to keep us to make us very searchable and on iTunes. And also, if you're listening from our website, arisenglobal.com, please make sure you leave comments down below, because it will be really, really helpful for us. And also, don't forget to share with your friends and family and people you love, because ultimately what we are looking to do is to impact lots and lots of lives, and we can't do it without you. And so if you like this, please share. And as always, don't forget to stay arisen. Yeah, wasn't that an exciting episode? Please consider leaving a review and a 5-star rating inside Spotify if you are on Android, and iTunes if you are on Apple. We have had a ton of you complaining you don't see the week's episode in a timely manner, and we appreciate that frustration. So if you want to get notified the very second an episode is live, head over to podcast.arisenglobal.com. That is podcast.arisenglobal.com, and follow the easy steps on there. You'll be notified on Facebook Messenger as soon as an episode goes live, so you are not left out in the Arisen Nation. And as always, don't forget to stay Arisen.